You have a special invitation. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. Don't miss the meet and greet with refreshments and light food. Then hear Dr. Jean A. Youngblood, host of Let's Face the Issues, speak. There will also be several other speakers and regular guests of his daily radio program. The speakers will discuss social, spiritual, and political issues. And you are invited to join in the discussion during the question and answer session before a live audience. The Let's Face the Issues rally is Thursday, July 1st from 5:45 p.m. to 8:30 p.m. at the Salem Center Auditorium, the home of this radio station, 7235 Bentley Road, formerly Bonneville Road, just east of Highway 1 Phillips Highway. Seating is limited, so please arrive early to get a seat for the Let's Face the Issues rally, Thursday, July 1st.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with a goal of informing and motivating listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 5 regional stations, as well as 4 additional stations in Virginia. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. We sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support of any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support us in this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale.
Go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donate button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about on today's broadcast the need for Christians, conservatives, and patriots to take a stand. And that stand ought to be in the realization and the recognition that God is the one that's in control. We have a chaos, confusing, fearful nation today. And I believe that's brought about intentionally by the governmental authorities that's wanting to divide and destroy. One of the three major things, there's 5 major prongs to Marxism that leads to communism. And Karl Marx said there's a need to dethrone God. His statement was that a religious people cannot be deceived. So his whole point was to dethrone God. Secondly, divide the nation. If you divide people, Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 25 and 26, that a nation divided cannot stand, a home divided cannot stand. So one of the key elements in Marxism to overthrow a nation, bring about communism, is to dethrone God and to divide the people. And that division is brought about in the Marxist agenda on a social basis, but in America we find it being done on a racial basis to divide us. And it is a major division that ought not to be found between skin tonation. God sees the heart and not the skin tonation. And the third thing is to destroy the nuclear family. We see those three elements today being played out in the problems, the difficulties, the chaos, the confusion, the calamity that our nation is in today. I personally believe has been conceived, contrived, and carried out through the governmental authorities to overthrow our nation. It is the global reset, as it's called. Even Biden himself is calling it Build Back Better, which is the mantra of a socialist Marxist regime. And that's exactly what we see happening. I believe we have Pastor Davis on the line. Give me the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Youngblood. How are you today?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I am very blessed. I am thankful for what Brother Gene just got finished saying on today, and also all the great things that you have said to the body of Christ on the broadcast today. But Dr. Youngblood, we have to realize on today, first of all, as Christians, and I don't know the situation, you know, fully, but I do recognize some of the things as they are going on around us right now today, that maybe some have sunken to the point of where they have become so degenerate to where they are just not accepting the word of God and Christ Jesus on any hand, no matter how we try to explain it to them, no matter how we try to live it out before them, no matter how much preaching we do for them, they keep rejecting God and his word. And when we look at Romans chapter 1, it tells us that God gives them over to a reprobate mind.
Right.
When it gets to that point, then of course sometimes they are beyond our reach. No one can reach them but God. But still yet, that doesn't say that we stop preaching the word or living a life before them or anything, because first of all, men need to know and understand, except they have Christ Jesus in their lives, that they really don't have a life. Because when we look at John chapter 1, verse 4, it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Outside of Christ Jesus, we don't have a life. So if we fully express to them and help them to come to know and understand, even as it says in John 3 and 17, God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. I think Amen. That would be a valuable message to them on today, if they can just catch a hold of that. And we keep on standing on the word of God, as Christian brothers and sisters should do on today.
Brother, you're exactly right. And Pastor, if I could jump in and make this statement. The latest Gallup poll says that 94% of Americans do not have a biblical worldview. Only 6% of Americans that say they're Christians, only 6% have a biblical worldview. And perhaps we have listeners saying, what is a biblical worldview? That is, taking the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God as the first, foremost, and final authority for what we say and for what we do. It's to take the word of God in a literal sense and apply it in our lives. And with that, Amen. Only 4% of the millennials have a biblical worldview. So with that being said, it goes back in solidifying the foundation of what you just said, is that we need to get back to the word of God, place our trust and faith and confidence in God. But there's so many today that, because they are, as I call it, playing church. You know, I've used the little term in pun, you ought to come the preacher let's like saved on Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, living like the devil himself. It's practical atheism. It's practical atheism being lived out in so many lives that say they're saved. So the key to it is, for the individuals listening, for those that are listening even today, to make sure that you have been blood-bought, Bible-saved, born again by personal confession of sin, inviting the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you. Without that, there's no hope. Without that, there's no help for us, for individuals, and for a nation.
Amen. Amen. And Dr. Youngblood, as soon as the Christians, come together, it really hurts my heart to see the divide that's in the church on today. And the biggest part of that is due to fear. I don't know if they have a proper outlook of God according to the scriptures, but Dr. Youngblood, it's high time that we get back to the old foundation. Don't try to build something brand new, because the Bible tells us no other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. And that is Christ Jesus. Amen. So we have to build, upon Christ on today.
Amen. Brother, you're exactly right. Spot on with what you said. And I'm thankful for your call, for your input, and for your insight, Brother Davis. God bless you and have a blessed day. And I tell our listeners, keep on looking up, for our redemption draweth nigh. I'm thankful your word of confidence in the Lord. Thank you so much for that. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Gene's going to have to leave us in just a few minutes. Gene, before you leave, respond to what you think in relationship to what Brother Davis said with so many people in our churches today. Are we living in a state of apostasy? What is apostasy? The falling away. And how does that relate to what we see happening in government? Is there a correlation between the falling away in the church and the corruption in government?
Well, I think the answer is yes. Mm-hmm. Fundamentally, not just think the answer is yes. The answer is yes. If the salt has lost its savor, it's good for nothing. Our saltiness, our preservative effect in any society, is directly related to our relationship with the Lord.
Right.
We live for Him. We follow Him, not out of duty, but out of a love relationship with Him. And that love relationship with Him affects every area of our life. And I think one of the things, in fact, is sort of like what the Lord was, saying to the churches there in the Revelation, of John, there is among some, you know, there's a loss of that love relationship.
Mm-hmm.
There's not, you know, there may be a religion, but there's not a relationship. And that relationship is really what affects everything. It affects, you know, I love what Brother Davis was saying from the standpoint of it affects how we treat each other.
Yes.
It affects how we communicate with each other. It affects how we listen. It affects first and foremost how we stand in grace and truth. And that is what's needed more than anything.
Yes.
And that's not going to be something we're going to be able to do in and of ourselves. It only comes out of that love relationship and then the Lord working in and through us mm-hmm. to be a blessing to those around us. So I really appreciate his comments.
And without that salt and light in society, as I've said so often, the salt is to be in a preservative in a decaying society and light in a darkened world. And if the salt's lost its savor, the scripture says, and speaking of the church, it has no value but to be cast out and trodden underfoot. And so I see that taking place in our nation today, where so few Christians are willing to take a stand. So few Christians are willing to stand for truth, even if it means standing alone and standing even to the point of death. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through the studios, right to our microphone so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your dialogue and discussion. I'm looking at an article that says, the communist takeover of America is happening in real time. As a result, America today is virtually unrecognizable from a year ago. Democrat leaders have stood by idly by actually contributing to the atmosphere of hatred and chaos in the rhetoric that's being proposed in their new plans for America. The new administration, Joe Biden, has reversed every single successful policy of the Trump administration that brought unprecedented economic revitalization across America and stemmed the flow of illegal immigration. Today, there's an unprecedented illegal immigration crisis on the southern border, deliberately instigated by Biden and the administration. The prices are rising, and Biden administration economic plans and policies is killing jobs. And meanwhile, poisonous critical race theory and Black Lives Matter rhetoric is being mainstreamed in our public curriculum, in our public schools, teaching children to hate America. At the same time, those children are being indoctrinated to believe that they can change sexual identity at will, in some cases without parental permission or consent. The entire world seems to be going insane. And if the trend is not reversed, our nation and the world will face a cataclysm of biblical proportions. So, ladies and gentlemen, it goes back to the fundamental charge for today in the issue that we're talking about, is that we need to see what's happening, recognize what's happening, stand for truth as Christians, and do not be silent and be seated and say nothing and do nothing, but at the same time, recognizing that our hope ought not to be in princes, presidents, prime ministers, or potentates, as I call it. And I'm paraphrasing Psalms 146 and verse 3. Our hope ought to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're seeing today the inept puppet in the White House now planning to infringe on our Second Amendment rights. He's talking about today unveiling a new plan that he's going to propose for Congress. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, already in the Beltway in Washington, in the U.S. House of Representatives, there's 8 different bills that's being promulgated on guns and gun control. If any two of those bills were to pass the Senate and be signed by President Biden, if any one or two of those bills were to be passed by the Senate and signed by the President, it will destroy the Second Amendment right. And ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Our founding fathers, through our founding documents, did not make a mistake when they gave us the First Amendment, and to protect that First Amendment, we have the Second Amendment, is the way I generally put it. The right to keep and bear arms, the right of self-defense, was given to us by God in the Word of God, codified in the Constitution, to be carried out by we the citizens. But they are grappling now. When I say they, I'm talking about this inept administration. I'm talking about this Communist Socialist Marxist BLM Democratic Party. They are wanting to destroy the potentiality of the citizens being to stand up and to defend ourselves against a communist fascist form of government that's on the fast track in our nation today. They're doing that in a multifaceted form. And now with the goal of gun control, i.e. destroying our Second Amendment right, with the goal of the Domestic Terrorism Act that has been now unveiled by the Department of Justice with Merrick Garland, the Attorney General. With that taking place, ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset to bring in now and close the net on the United States of America in the Constitutional Republic and the representative form of government that for 247 years we have enjoyed as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Perhaps if you've not tuned into this broadcast before and you're new in our listening audience, perhaps you're wondering why should that pastor, why should any Christian be so passionate and concerned about the direction of our nation, saying something about the government and what the government is doing? Because listen, ladies and gentlemen, listen very clearly. If our government collapses, if our nation collapses, if we lose our constitutional republic, we are losing the potentiality of the freedom in America to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're foreclosing the future of our present and future generations. We're foreclosing the possibility for our sons and our daughters and our grandkids of having the freedom that we are now experiencing in America, where we can preach the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ without fear or intimidation from the outside. We see that inept, ladies and gentlemen, government that is today violating our Constitution, violating our Bill of Rights. And ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the violence and the murders and the shootings, and mostly in the socialist, Marxist, communist, democratic cities across America, the cities that are facing gun violence. And it's gun violence, ladies and gentlemen, and generally speaking, it's black-on-black crime. And yet they're saying that there's a need to be careful of white supremacists in America under the new Domestic Terrorist Act that's been unveiled in the DOJ at the behest of the Biden administration. But ladies and gentlemen, our cities like Chicago and Baltimore and New York and Portland and Atlanta, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, all face murders every day, and yet nothing has been done, nothing is being said about that. But yet, when you talk about the gun violence, as they like to call it, they're simply wanting to take the right to keep and bear arms out of the hands of the citizens. They wanted to cancel our right of self-defense, the God-given right that God has given us. But ladies and gentlemen, America is on the verge of legalizing the overthrow. Listen very carefully. We're on the verge of legalizing the overthrow of our Constitution and our Bill of Rights. Hear me. If they pass the H.R. 1, if they pass H.R. 5, if they're able to institute any of the gun legislation, ladies and gentlemen, America, citizens, as the conservatives, as Christians, as patriots, will be in the crosshairs of at the whim and the wish of government to silence any voice. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article here that says the IRS makes extraordinary determination that biblical values are exclusively Republican. They're saying that if you're a Republican, if you're a constitutionalist, if you're a conservative, if you voted for Trump, if you stand for Trump, then that's an indication that the IRS needs to come in and watch what you're doing and persecute and prosecute you in some fashion. This article says Christian organizations across America remember vividly the orchestrated attack on their fellows that developed under Barack Hussein Obama. And it goes on to talk about how the Obama administration used the IRS, with Lois Lerner at the helm, used the IRS to squelch and to quiet and ultimately destroy the Tea Party. And they're doing the same thing now. There have been some religious institutions that have filed for 501c3. They were told they could not because it was religious. This article says, in a letter issued in May, the IRS argued that the Christians Engaged, that's the name of an organization, Christians Engaged are not eligible for 501c3 status, in part because Bible teachings are typically affiliated with the Republican Party and candidates for the Republican Party. The legal team explained, the IRS and states in an official letter, that biblical values are exclusively Republican. Goes on to say only a politicized IRS could see Americans who pray in our nation and pray for our nation and vote in every election and work to engage others in the political process. They see them as a threat. So, ladies and gentlemen, the IRS sees you. They see me as a threat to our nation because we pushed President Trump. We voted for President Trump because as a Republican, as they call it now, it is typically one that has political values based on the Bible, and therefore it is to be ostracized, to cast out, and to be rejected as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at an article that says, did undercover federal agents help organize the January 6th Capitol riots? I don't know what you have studied on that, what you've read on that, but ladies and gentlemen, there's a major, major concern today based on some of the happenings and the prosecutorial evidence that has come out in relationship to the Capitol riots. It was not an insurrection. It was simply the infiltration of a Trump rally with the BLM, Black Lives Matter, rioting, looting thugs, and the Antifa thugs that were the ones that were there. Nancy Pelosi, as a minimum of 3 weeks before the rally, knew of the infiltration plans by the BLM, Black Lives Matter, and Antifa. And now we're finding, based on some major evidence that needs to come forward further, that the potentiality that the FBI, part of the infiltrating team, the FBI infiltrated some of the groups that were antithetical to peace and as a antithetical part to what would be called a Trump rally, that infiltrated that, they were the ones that were part and partially responsible for that riot that took place. Here's an article that says, did the undercover federal agents help organize the January 6th Capitol riots? Tucker Carlson, in potentially every case, unindicted co-conspirators are, in fact, FBI operatives. Some of those key individuals who planned the riot at the U.S. Capitol on the January 6th likely were federal agents or informants. According to a new report that documents multiple unindicted co-conspirators who are being cited in the federal charges against some of the defendants stemming from the violent episode. Yet the unindicted co-conspirators who allegedly committed many of the same acts of those who are now facing serious charges have never been charged at all. Quote, why is the administration hiding more than 10,000 hours of surveillance tape from the U.S. Capitol? What could possibly be the reason for that? Even as they call on more openness, we need to get to the bottom of it. They could release those tapes today, but they're not doing so. Why? He wrote in his commentary. For example, one of those unindicted co-conspirators is someone the government identifies as person two. In fact, that's the way they identify them over and over in those unindicted co-conspirators, which are, in fact, federal agents, FBI, or otherwise agents. I'm looking at a brief comment by someone that had sent me an email. It said, leftists intend to incite action, then categorize any response as a domestic terrorist. Ladies and gentlemen, we're being set up as a nation. We're being set up as conservatives, Christians, and as patriots. Here's an article that says the FBI makes a shocking demand, orders news sites to hand over data of everyone who reads the article. We're being watched. And ladies and gentlemen, one of the key components of the Domestic Terrorist Act, a key component of that, ladies and gentlemen, is first of all to identify the so-called threats. Now, I'm reading to you from the domestic terrorist document itself. And it says the first thing is to identify the threats. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the DOJ, this will be done by way of using the IRS, the FBI, the CIA, Facebook, social media, and all of big tech in working in concert with the federal government to watch, to trace, to track every citizen, just as is now being done in China. Ladies and gentlemen, in China, there's not a transaction that takes place. There's not a walk across the street that takes place. There's not a purchase. There's not a sale. There's not a move by the citizens, but that the government knows about it. With this new Domestic Terrorist Act, ladies and gentlemen, we're on the fast track for watching every move, watching every transaction, watching everything that citizens do in relationship to the privacy, because the government's already determined in this Domestic Terrorist Act that they're going to partner with big tech, social media. And I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen, I'm adding this to the conversation. I'm sure they've already gotten with Zuckerberg, and they'll use Facebook because they've already said they'll use all of social media. And social media will be then bought and paid for by the federal government, where social media and all the things that you do, everything that you print, everything that you publish, everything that you write, every text, every email, every communication on Facebook and on social media, ladies and gentlemen, at this moment, hear me, at this moment is being tracked and followed by the federal government to ascertain whether or not you or whether or not I may be a domestic terrorist in the making. That's exactly what they're doing. I'm looking at an article here that says, the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. On his first full day in office, President Joe Biden directed his national security team to lead a 100-day comprehensive review of the U.S. government's efforts to address domestic terrorism, which has evolved into the most urgent terrorist threat in the United States today. It goes on to say the Biden administration is releasing the first ever National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism. I call it the Domestic Terrorism Act, but it's actually titled the National Strategy for Countering Domestic Terrorism to address the challenge. And it goes on to say, under federal law, domestic terrorism is defined as activities that involve acts dangerous to human life that are a violation of criminal law of the United States of America. It appears to be intended to intimidate. Listen, this act is to intimidate, coerce the civilian population. It's to influence the police, the policy of government by intimidating or coercion, or to affect the conduct of government for future findings of domestic terrorists. The review was rooted in the expert assessment of the domestic terrorist threat. And it goes on to talk about looking at it from a racially, ethnically motivated violence or the superiority of white supremacists or anti-government things that are said or done that could be viewed as a future domestic terrorist. The article says Biden wants to beef up his ranks of prosecutors, analysts, and agents to combat domestic terrorism in America. All said and done, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the federal government create a problem, the chaos, the confusion, and fear. Now they're going to come in as a knight in shining armor and saying, we're going to cure the problem by setting up a domestic terrorism task force. But ladies and gentlemen, hear me in this closing remark. We the people, conservatives, Christians, and patriots, are in the crosshairs of the federal government as being potential domestic terrorists. We're being watched with everything that's said and done, and we're on the watch list. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us in this broadcast today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
Tune in nightly, 9 to 9:45 p.m. for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard in its entirety 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM and 93.3 HD3. You're also invited to tune in Sunday mornings at 8 a.m. on Talk 100.3 for expository preaching. Tune in and invite others to listen.